listeners, welcome to Human Music. I'm your host, Mira Jo. I'm a musician, and each show I invite a guest musician to pick a song that we can listen to together. My guest today is Robin Silva. Robin grew up in a small logging town in Oregon, where there was a lot of bluegrass music and old-time music in the local area. She became a self-taught fiddle player at the age of 9. On Vashon, she teaches fiddle and guitar. She also plays fiddle in Frog Holler, and you can catch them every month at the Coop. Robin, welcome to Human Music.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is very thrilling.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. I've heard a lot about you, and when you picked your song and told me about what you're playing, I just kind of got excited because I haven't really listened to a lot of Cajun music. But I want to start with, what's an early memory of learning how to play music?
My family traveled a bit, and we were in Texas. Texas is a very, very big fiddling. It's like kind of like, you know, the grassroots of fiddling that a lot of people strive to. And so when I was 6 years old, my mom took me to a fiddle contest, and it was in a big open air mall. And so it was in the middle of this square, and it was a 3-day contest. I mean, Texans are just totally into it, right? And so we sat in the front, and I remember as soon as the first fiddler got up and started playing, it was like my whole world just became that. I was just immersed in it, and I was just like, oh my God, I thought it was the most incredible thing I'd ever heard in my life. And they had a piano player. So I was very, very small, and it was way up on a stage, and they had this piano player, and all I could see was from her knees down. I couldn't see her. And so I could see her feet pumping that, you know, the organ, or the, not the organ, what do you call those things? Those pedals. And I could see the dust flying up from her feet, and her feet were all dusty. And she, you know, she just seemed like to have the happiest feet you could ever imagine. And just the combination between the fiddle, the guitar, and the piano, I just had to have it. And I went back 3 days in a row. My mom actually took me 3 days in a row, and I can't believe it. And it was like all day long. And I would stand at the edge of the stage with my fingers and try to peer up so I could see better. And the thing that got me was, this Indian walked up, and he was so stately and amazing looking Indian. And he had long braids with a red bandana around him. And he walked up and he looked over to the guitar player. And why I can remember this, I didn't know music, nothing at 6 years old. And he said, in the key of G. And he turned back around. And he started to play, and on his fiddle hand, he had lost all his fingers. He just had stubs, and he was playing the fiddle with these stubs, and tears were rolling down his cheek and dripping onto his shirt. And I'm sorry, I get emotional. I realized that was the key to happiness, and I had to be a fiddler. So...
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really something. And I started to cry as a kid because I just knew that was it. It was the key. And so after he played, I ran back to my seat and I said, Mom, I want to be a fiddler. I want to be a fiddler. How do I be a fiddler? And she says, well, when you have enough money and you buy a fiddle, you can be a fiddler. I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so I did chores for everybody. For quarters, nickels, and dimes until I was 9, and I had $100. And I said, Mom, will this buy a fiddle? And she goes, I think so. And so we went into a very small town of Dallas, Oregon, and went to a pawn shop, and they had a fiddle. And it was $95. So So that's how I got started. But the problem is that I didn't know how to play it. And I thought that once you got the fiddle, you just could play it. Like it came with it, like a kit. So it was a little bit of a shock when, you know, it was like, oh, I picked it up and I'm like, I can't play. I don't know how this, it's not happening. And so from there, a couple of influences in my life is I had an aunt who was Swedish and part Swedish, and she had a bunch of Swedish records and she played the accordion. And so I started playing with her, and I would try to practice with the records, you know, pick up the old needle, stick it down, and repeat, repeat, repeat. And so that was one thing. But the other thing is she was extremely interesting, and she loved to travel. And she spent a lot of time in the South. And so we're talking the 60s. And then she spent a lot of time in Louisiana. And she had collected Cajun records. And she would tell me the story of how the Cajuns would come into town, and they were very poor, and they would get their instruments out in flour sacks. They didn't have they couldn't afford a case for their instruments. And then they would play on the street, and then they would sell their records out of the trunk of their car or on the sidewalk. And I think I have something close to 25 of her records. I inherited them when she passed away. And I started listening to those records so very, very early on, and I had no idea what Cajun was. So I was playing Swedish, and I was playing Cajun. Wow. Yeah. And then the other influence in my life was my mom. She played guitar and harmonica, and she sang. And so I just, I never had a lesson. I didn't know how, you know, to do things. And so my mom would sing, and I would try to find her voice on my fiddle. She would sing me a lot of folk songs and hymnals and, you know, stuff like that. And so I learned to play by ear to her voice and also with the records and my aunt. And then I really, really wanted to do some big-time fiddling. And so big-time fiddling meant going to the Polk County Fairgrounds, which is just this tiny dot of a place. And I wasn't there too long ago, and it didn't get any bigger. But twice a month, they would have bluegrass jam, and the next time they would have old-time jam. And I'd go, and I wouldn't take my fiddle because I was really embarrassed. I was so small, I couldn't reach the G string over on the other side. I was too small. I couldn't reach it. So everything had to be in the other strings. And I would take a pencil. And I had all these records, and so I had songs that I knew that I liked. And so I'd go up to these jam groups, and I'd say, excuse me, could you play Red Wing? And they, oh, sure, kid, you know. And so I would watch their fingers, and I realized all they were doing was a pattern. And I was like, oh, it's a pattern. And if I could just memorize that pattern. So I started carrying a pencil, and I would pick out my pencil, and I would hold it like my fiddle, and I'd memorize their pattern. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go to the next jam group, and I would request the same song. And I did it all day long. I went to different jam groups. I would only request one song. My mom would pick me up at the end of the day, and I wouldn't let anybody in the car talk to me. And I just played the song over and over again on my pencil. And then I'd run in the house, grab my fiddle, grab my record with the song on it, put the needle on it, and I'd play it for hours and hours and hours until I could get it memorized.
Wow. You really found a way to teach yourself. And I love that you would just kind of poke your head into these circles, and everybody was just on board to help you out and bring you into the circle and play these songs for you. I feel like that communal spirit is really powerful. And I also love your initial introduction to the fiddle, which sounds like a spiritual experience to me.
Yeah.
That fueled you into this passion for the fiddle and the music that comes out of it. How do you feel like you've grown through the years from playing the fiddle? Did you ever take more formal lessons, or did you always just pick things up by ear? What's been your process of learning more tunes?
Eventually I went into the service for 10 years and I didn't really play. And then when I got out of the service, it was my goal to get better, to get lessons and get instruction. And so I did take some bluegrass instructions in Tacoma, and then I discovered camps. And so the first camp I started at was in Fiddle Tunes in Port Townsend, and they had international music, and I just couldn't believe that they had Cajun. And so I glummed onto that. And then they had Swedish. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. My two things. And so I did that for 20 years. But in between time, that's a week long camp. In between time, I decided to really get studying. And I went to Louisiana. And I studied there for a couple of weeks at a time, several times. And then I started to go to West Virginia to a camp there called Augusta. And they're very, very famous for their Cajun camp. And I started to immerse myself there. And I picked up playing the Cajun accordion there as well. I still don't read music, but I know theory. So... I can play with anybody because I know the theory of, that music theory, right?
That's great.
Yeah. And so I'm always continuing to learn. And right now I'm trying to get a lot better at Irish. I went on a music tour last year to Ireland and I'm going to go back. So
that's amazing. You threw out a lot of different types of music that you can play on the fiddle. Is there a different way that you approach, like if you were to talk to a new fiddle player, are there things that you would say about playing Swedish folk music versus bluegrass on the fiddle versus Cajun?
Yeah, it's a total different language, of what you do with your bowing, whether you double string a lot or whether you don't, whether you want a great big full sound. Also the rhythm, Cajun as well as Swedish, they play specifically basically for dances. So you're trying to get a driving beat out of it. Swedish is more what I call, I don't have a better word for it other than more sophisticated, whereas Cajun, they just like, you sit down and you, they're like, well, where's your beer? Where you can't play without no beer, And Swedes are like, well, let's have some tea first. And so their fiddling is beautiful and stunning and lots of harmonies. And I love it. And I cry every single time I play it. But Cajun, I just have a damn good time,
That's amazing. Yes. So in preparation from talking to you, I didn't know a lot about Cajun music. So I saw this documentary. I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's translated to I Went to the Dance, which was recorded in the 1980s. And they interviewed different Cajun musicians. And so they did talk about how it started in these dance halls. And people were working on farms throughout the week. And then they just wanted to party on the weekends. So they just came to these dance halls. And the accordion, what the biggest appeal was that it projected sound.
Right.
And I feel that with the fiddle too. It just projects sound. And so I'm sure you can hear it over all of the stomping and dancing and shuffling. And when I was listening to some of the songs in the documentary, my feet just started moving. I didn't know what they were doing, but they just started to shuffle. I just couldn't help but move to the music. And so one of the people who was interviewed, he's like, they're Cajun music, it's like seven notes, simple melody, staccato, olive, octaves, and embellishments like grace notes. And so I just found that really interesting because when you listen to bluegrass or old time, it's hard to identify musically what the differences are, like what's really happening. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what you just said about explaining the differences of the fiddle and how the fiddle works, and a lot of it is guided by sort of the limitations of, like, let's say the accordion, which is only, is your accordion a C scale accordion?
Most of them are, most of them, they do play in the key of C. The accordion, the Cajun accordion is diatonic, so it's like a harmonica. And so you have to have several accordions depending on what key. So a lot of singers, though, will actually have an F accordion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because it's an easier range to sing in?
To sing in, for the singer, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But also, you know, you can play different keys with the C accordion. It's just you're missing the notes, some of the notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in true Cajun style, the fiddle player will actually take every one of his strings and drop it down a whole step.
Really?
Yeah. So that they match. So now they're in the key of C.
Oh, I see.
They match the accordion better.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So the fiddle is tuned differently than the guitar.
Correct. The guitar stays the same.
Oh, interesting.
Right. But the fiddle and the accordion would be, you know, matched up.
That's great. I love that. You know, the thought of playing music for dancing, communal dancing, mm-hmm. it's such a powerful thing because I think about, you know, people were living pretty hard lives farming the land in Louisiana. I think what I read was that there were French who were kicked out of British Columbia, migrated to Louisiana, and then free Black people, French Acadians, mm-hmm. mingled together and their music mingled together. That's what created the Creole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that mixing is just, and it was all around dance and storytelling. And I've been doing some research about the vagus nerve and how it's really important, especially, you know, for people who are, for example, recovering from trauma, that it's important to stimulate that nerve. And one of the things that stimulates it is group dancing, is movement. So I could see how there's this connection between, you know, kind of living these hard lives and then on the weekends just cutting loose.
Right.
And the singing too of Cajun music is very distinct.
Yeah, it's French. They actually originated in France, and then they were kicked out of France. For being, you know, vagabonds, and some of them were criminals and some of them just really had a good time. And that's why, so Cajun is that before they went to British Columbia, they were kicked out. And so they actually are singing in French, but the French is actually very, very old French. They don't, like a lot of the words, you know, like I do a song that has Catan in it, and it actually means whore in today's French, but I didn't have any idea. It just, in the connotation of the song, it means it's hit the sweetheart.
Wow. So I've been talking to my guest, Robin Silva. You've been listening to Human Music on KVSHLP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5, Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island, on the web at THSRestaurant.com.
Welcome back to Human Music. My name is Mira Jo. I've been talking to my guest, musician Robin Silva. We're going to play a song that you've chosen. I've asked you to select a song. What song did you select?
It's called Parlez-nous et voix. And it's by one of my most favorite bands that I think is really iconic, Cajun, that showcases exactly how that driving guitar goes, how the accordion player goes. And what's also really fun, you don't see it that often, but a guy is playing the bucket bass, the old gut bucket. And I just feel like the singing and the hauntiness of it, it just really grabs your soul. And she's a Savoie, which the Savoie family is very famous Cajuns. And she's one of the daughters, and she actually lives in France and does Cajun for a living.
Amazing. So what is this song and what is the band?
I think it's, well, it's called Parlez Nous et Voix. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, let's go. Thank you.
Awesome. So what was that song that we just heard?
It's called Parlez Nous à Bois, and it's by Sarah Savoy and the Francadians.
So it is in what language is that? That's French Creole?
It would be French. It would be French, Cajun French.
Oh, Cajun French.
Cajun French, yeah. But you got to realize they're also from Louisiana, so they have a slang to them as well.
Well, the translation for the song, which I would love to read, which is so much fun. It's called Tell Us About Drinking. Oh, tell us about drinking, not about marriage, always regretting our past pretty times. If you marry a pretty girl, you're in great danger. They're going to steal her. If you marry an ugly girl, you're in great danger. You'll have to live with her. If you marry a very poor girl, you're in danger. You'll have to work all your life. If you marry a well-off girl, you're in danger. You'll get great reproaches. Damned you, the great good for nothing, you spilled all my possessions.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That sums it up right there. So you were talking a little bit about the rapping at the end, or mm-hmm. you pointed that out. And so what is that typical of songs, of Cajun songs?
I mean, once in a while, yeah, they'll do that. I think they're just trying to emphasize something and change things up so that you actually like pay attention all of a sudden. A lot of times that out on the dance floor, I mean, you know, when I go down to like West Virginia and Louisiana, a lot of the dance floors are like outside and they're lit up at night and you've got, you know, mosquitoes and fireflies hanging mm-hmm. around and stuff like that. And the dance floor is packed and everybody's in a moment and all of a sudden stops, right? And then they do this rap thing and people literally will stop dancing and they just stand there and scream. That's it. And then when you start up again, you know, then they're back to dancing and they stop and scream.
I love it. It's sort of this pure exclamation. You're just, it's not a style of singing that you, it's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that belting kind of feel to it, which can really get you motivated for the beat. Can you break down what a typical Cajun song might entail? Like, is it's in rounds, or you just play the same melody several times? How is that laid out?
Yeah, well, it's laid out like a fiddle tune, and a fiddle tune usually has a part A and a part B, and it's repeated. And so typically they'll play it all the way through, like at the beginning, and she didn't start singing. So they play the song entirely through, and then she started singing. And then generally right after the singer has stopped, either the fiddle player will take a break or the accordion player will take a break.
Mm.
And if the accordion player is taking the break, then the fiddle player will do this really neat, unique backup, rhythm backup with the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually doing the chords at following, maybe some little riffs in between, maybe some little bit of harmony. And the same with the accordion, basically, that he will back up the fiddle player and then the singer will sing again. And they'll do that, you know, they'll do that for a very long time if it's at a dance.
That's great. And is there a lot of improvisation, or is it just basically just playing the melody?
Mm-mm.
You're just playing?
Oh, yeah. There's not much improv.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You just want to keep that driving beat going.
No, I tried it one time.
And it's...
oh, yeah. They just give you a look like, where'd you come from?
Get out of our circle.
Yeah. And the accordion player says, if you can't hit anything, just hit the big notes. I'm like, okay. I just thought I was going to try some improv, but no.
That's great. So that beat, that driving beat is what kind of fuels it. And I feel like it has the energy. It has a very emotional energy
mm-hmm.
where it's just really just, it kind of feels like you're just laying your heart out on the line, you know, just opening it up and just laying it out for people and then giving people the opportunity to just express themselves in dance and just release a lot of energy. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, that's it. You've nailed it. Yeah, yeah.
And then the stories, which, you know, it's interesting because I know a lot of folk songs talk about, it comes from a male perspective, talking about women and, you know, my love and, you know, maybe she doesn't want me and so I'm going to stab her with a knife. It's just like this, almost misogynistic a little bit, but it's really captures sort of the culture in some way. And I don't find it offensive. I just find it to be like a time capsule of what the songs, when they came over originally from the French, and then it's more of a musical expression. But how do you feel about some of the lyrics and what the meanings of the songs are?
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree, but it's also a culture that, I mean, they've been doing this for a very, very long time. And so I think taking away something, unless it's like extreme, you know, offensive, of course, I just don't sing those words, you know, or change them. I find something else to put in there. But I agree. I just feel like they've really got to hold on to their culture. And that's one of the reasons why I have really dove into playing Cajun, is because I don't want that culture to go away.
Yeah, and it's great that we're hearing a female singer singing this song, and that turns it up on its head too, mm-hmm. sort of embracing the cultural aspect of it, the importance of carrying on the tradition. And it wasn't, you know, from the documentary that I watched, you know, there was a lot of lost Cajun culture because of, you know, negative stereotypes and things like that. And so it kind of almost became not a lost art, but then had this revival as people were coming back from the war and wanting to reconnect with their cultural Cajun identity. Mm-hmm. And then that was what created this revival of Cajun music. So to think that, you know, there was this rich culture and then it was, you know, suppressed by stigma, and then to understand that, you know, it really is sort of the heart of a community. And so I imagine if you're a soldier going away to war and you come back and you want to reconnect with that community and mm-hmm. that culture to give yourself that sense of identity again.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know, I've heard from several men that were in Vietnam that were in the Navy, that they were, you know, in service with Cajuns, and they brought their instruments and they would play in the bells of the ship. And a lot of GIs ended up getting guitars like in Japan or whatever, so that they could learn to actually play their music as well. So they tried very, very hard not to lose their culture while they were still in the service. So I think the whole thing, and I've also heard that the reason that they have a lot of women that play Cajun now is because the men went off to war.
Oh.
And so they played for the dances and, you know, they wanted their family and their kids to keep learning as well.
Yeah, it's interesting watching, and do you know a little bit, you said that Sarah is part of a family of Cajun, part of a line of Cajun musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems to be very common where you have the sons and daughters playing the music and it's passed down that way every generation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. So they are very iconic and have kept everything going as far as Cajun and a lot of bringing it, I don't want to call it up to date, but let's call it just like super fun and accessible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it seems more like when I contrast it with like, how do you write music today? This is very, it's like very tied to identity. It's not about, you know, pressing a record to make money. I think there was an example in the documentary where the guy who pressed a Cajun record made $7 on it. It was like, oh, okay, I made $7. I guess this is good. So he kept pressing the records because they were being bought, but it wasn't, that people just wanted to hear the songs. And it was, you know, originally he was resistant to recording just an accordion fiddle. He's like, I don't think this is going to work, an accordion and a fiddle. But it was more about, it felt like it was more about preserving and reconnecting and touching it without being necessarily at the dance hall. And so we're playing on a record player and dancing in your home. I mean, I'm not sure exactly, but there was like a pull to that, like that was more cultural and identity based versus materialistic or, you know, I'm going to be this musician on this kind of this aside gig or whatever. Like, it's like, no, I'm preserving my cultural identity.
Yeah. I do know that a lot of families played. I mean, it was kind of like, that's what they did. So they would play at the house, you know, in their houses almost every single night. And then the neighbors would just come over and start dancing in the kitchen, you know? So I think it was very important, and I think they've done an incredible job at preserving it. I do know quite a few personal musicians in Louisiana that choose to live in Lafayette or Lake Charles, Eunice, but they have very high-profile jobs, and several of them work for Disney. And they leave their family in Louisiana and they commute to Universal Studios for work, but they want their family, their kids, and that culture to stay the same.
Absolutely. That's powerful stuff. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with my guest, Robin Silva. This is Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection.
Ellis Cedar has earned a reputation for delivering the finest cedar products available. They are selective, friendly, and they understand customers' needs. With a large inventory, Ellis Cedar supplies custom and specified orders on time, and in-house manufacturing ensures exceptional quality. Located on Vashon Island in the heart of the Puget Sound, Ellis Cedar delivers top-quality Western red cedar worldwide.
Thank you to Windermere Real Estate, whose support makes our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
Welcome back to Human Music. I'm your host, Mira Jo, and I've been talking with my guest, Robin Silva, and I'm going to ask Robin to do an in-studio performance. Do you want to introduce the song and the performance?
So I'm going to be playing Lake Charles Waltz. I learned this tune from Al Berard. He was a very, very incredible Cajun player, but he had the biggest heart in the world. I took a lot of private lessons from him, as well as trying to capture exactly how he played. He's the true deal. He was the last of eight children, and his dad was a crawfisherman, and he was very, very poor. And I have to tell this story. It's not the song that I'm going to play for you, but it's one of his songs. He only had one outfit when he was going to school. And when he was in high school, he would work with his dad with the crawfishermen. So he had an outfit to work for the crawfishers so he didn't get dirty. And he had a school outfit. And he would go to school, and he would come home, and he would step in the door, and his mom would make him take off his outfit, and she would wash it, dry it, and iron it, and have it ready for him the next day. And he only had one outfit. Wow. And he went to go to the dance, and he was very excited to go to the dance. And he showed up in his pressed iron clean outfit, and he walked across the floor and asked this girl to dance. And she turned him down because she said, "You still have that same outfit." And he was devastated. And so he left the dance. He was embarrassed. He was devastated. And he went home and he picked up his fiddle, and he wrote The Unlucky Waltz. But I'm not playing that one. I'm playing his his favorite tune, which was Lake Charles.
Great. Robin Silva, take it away.
Thank y'all for coming today. Here we go. One, two, three.
That was a lot of fun. Who is in the studio with you performing?
I have Julie Warble and on banjo, tenor banjo, and I have Terry. You know what? I forgot his last name. He's on guitar, and my husband Steve Civil on triangle.
And what's the tenor banjo? How's that different than a regular banjo?
It's tuned the same as a fiddle and a mandolin. It only has four strings.
Okay, it versus like a five-string banjo.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then you were talking a little bit about off-air about how you hold the fiddle. Can you talk a little bit about different ways of holding the fiddle?
First of all, I have to say, a lot of people always ask me, is that a violin or a fiddle? Mm. And, you know, the true answer is you can spill beer on a fiddle. They are the same instrument, but the bridge that holds up the string is very arched for a violinist because they generally do not want to touch another string. They want to have a pure mm-hmm. sound, where Cajuns, you know, got to have a full sound, and by doing that, you, what we call double string, you hit two mm-hmm. strings at once and you play. So they will take the bridge and they will actually flatten it out mm-hmm. a little bit more so you can hit the two strings. And I forgot your question.
Oh, how about holding, holding the fiddle in different ways.
Yeah. Okay. And so mainly down in the South, you will see it up here as well, that the men will hold their fiddle down lower towards their elbow. And that has a lot to do with, like, maybe it'll bother their neck or something like that. Or if they learned in the South, it's way too hot to have that fiddle stuck for hours underneath your neck and it sweats and then it falls off. Women, on the other hand, back in the day were not very, weren't encouraged, I should say, to play the fiddle. So a lot of them would actually hide up in the attic and take the family member's fiddle and hide up there and play. I'm trying to think. Gosh, I just drew a blank. I took fiddle from a famous person that was on the Grand Ole Opry, and she learned to play the fiddle up in the attic, and she was really good friends with Dolly Parton, and she told a lot of stories. But it took her years and years to figure out that the fiddle actually belongs under the chin.
That's funny. She had it out.
On her arm. She didn't know.
So, you know, it strikes me, this music, Cajun music and old time music, it's very Vashon. Why do you think Vashon, this music, just seems to flourish and people are just excited and into it? What is it about this place?
I think, well, you know, for one thing, if it's out at the Coop, and I don't really have to say much about that. I mean, that to me is like Louisiana. You know, you've got the dance hall, you've got the music, you've got the dancers, you've got the band and the music. And all the credit basically goes to Dave Lang. So he's like the grandfather of Cajun, and he started it in Seattle, and he moved it to Vashon. And then the Salon family, you know, his daughter and his son and grandsons, they're incredible musicians, and they come over from Seattle once a month to play, and they've been playing since they were tiny. So they've created this incredible environment, and it was basically the sole reason I moved to Vashon.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you move to Vashon?
I moved to Vashon 7 years ago, but before that I had found out about the music, and I started coming over every week and playing music and then waiting for the Cajun at the Coop. And I stayed with a friend, and I did that for 4 years.
Wow.
Trying to figure out how to move here. And I finally figured it out.
We're so lucky that you're here.
Thank you.
Really. And I didn't know that history about the Cajun. So when do you know the history of the Coop? When was that started?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to get someone on here.
Chris Anderson.
To talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the space is very, I guess it's an old barn maybe. It kind of looks like an old barn, but maybe it's just a add-on building. It seems like a dance hall.
Oh yeah, it was a coop. I don't think it was a chicken coop. It could have been, but it's called the Coop, like a chicken coop. But I think it used to be a saddle shop that they made saddles.
Okay.
But we have to ask Chris.
We'll have to ask
I don't want to, you know, say something I don't know. But
and so there is something. There is something though about the people who are attracted to Vashon. I think that there's some soul searching or some soul seeking or spiritual seeking that I encounter with people, do you think? Or creative seeking? I mean, it's all part of some spiritual experience, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking for a different pace of life, maybe?
I think so. I mean, I think people come here, I've heard it a lot. They come here to heal, and then they just don't leave, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, healing is important. Seems like, I mean, nowadays people are more open about psychiatry, psychology, healing, trauma, all of this kind of thing, but it's more out in the open and accepted. But you know, to prioritize by changing your way of life, I think it's a real statement of, I want to do this differently, and I want to find a way to do it differently. It takes, I think, a lot of courage to go down that journey and be in touch with your soul or the essence of you, or to be searching for that rather than some external identity. You know, when I also started playing music, I taught myself how to play the guitar, and my I mostly sang hymns at church. That's sort of the exposure that I had to singing or playing music. And so it was a guitar and piano. And so when I was writing my songs, I didn't really know what they were. They didn't really fall into any genre. I just knew that there were words that came up and I put them to chords and they just existed. And so I always felt kind of insecure about the songs because they came from someplace within me that I didn't quite understand. They're a way of expressing myself. And recently I came across this book, Beginner Finger Picking at Granny's. And so I've been learning beginner finger picking guitar and a lot of folk songs. And I have been, it's been so much fun. It just, I feel like diving into this kind of music, there's no insecurity. It's just this melody that's fun to sing, fun to play, a rhythm that's fun to do. And it just feels like freedom to me, you know? And I was playing one song for my husband who's from Eastern Washington. He's like, I know that song. I learned that song in school. I was like, how did you learn this song in Eastern Washington, this old-timey song? And so, you know, maybe it was carried through, you know, people migrating west and, you know, carrying this music with them and just, or maybe it was evangelical or, you know, I'm not really sure how these old-timey songs came to the West.
Mm. Well, I do know how fiddle tunes, not Cajuns, but okay. Fiddle tunes in general, like old-time fiddle, a lot of that came from Ireland, Scotland, New England, and then they brought it down towards, you know, Boston, New York, you know, Maine and that kind of thing. And then they kind of mixed a lot with, when you talked earlier about mixing with the Creoles, they also mixed with the slaves and the Africans. So, and actually the Polish people. So they were promised land. They were promised land. But actually what they got promised was to work on the land. They didn't get the land. Mm. And so you have all these immigrants that actually merged together and in the fields and on their breaks or in the evening, they actually played music together. And so there's been an emergence. There's some music called Polish Texas music. Mm. And, you know, but if you can believe it, they play iconic Cajun tunes, but it's sung in Polish. I got off on Cajun. I'm sorry about that. So in old time music then, they pretty much stayed down around in there in those areas. But with old time, when the Oregon Trail began, they started to bring their songs. Mm. And a lot of those songs that you're talking about, as well as the fiddle tunes, came up with the Oregon Trail. Into the Dakotas, there was an influence of music that happened there that the fiddlers there played differently than the ones that played in the South.
I see.
And they're called Flatlanders, and it's called Flatland music. But that made it all the way up to Oregon. So,
wow.
The interesting thing is, two interesting things is there is a song that is called Flop-Eared Mule. It's a standard square dance tune. It was brought up through the Oregon Trail. And actually, they play it in Ireland, but they do it with all these ornamentations on it.
I see.
Another thing that happened was I go to Mexico quite a bit, and there was a Mexican fiddler that was playing, and he was also baking potatoes. And in between baking potatoes, he would pull out his fiddle full of, like, dust from the charcoal, and he would blow it off, and he'd pick up and play his fiddle. And so one day, I was like, okay, I'm going to go down there and learn a couple of his Mexican tunes, right? So I go up there, and I asked him, I said, can you teach me one of your favorite tunes? And you wouldn't believe what he said. He goes, you like country? I said, yeah, I like country. Okay, Flop-Eared Mule. And he played Flop-Eared Mule, but it was mariachi style.
Wow.
So I'm like, well, how did he get there? You know, I'm not sure, but it got there.
That's interesting because, during the Cajun Revival, there were highways and, roadways that started being built from Louisiana to Texas. So a lot of the Texan country influence came into the Cajun style of playing. And then the swing kind of music was kind of picked up as seen as hipper or cooler. And so that also tried to change the music a little bit. But thank you for sharing that information and history. So it's incredible to me that we have people like you who know about the tradition and can share the information about the tradition beyond just Googling it on the internet. You're kind of a Vashon treasure, I think, in my eyes because of that. So
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed being here and speaking with you today. And I just feel so lucky to live on this island full of music and to go to the Coop. I am living my six-year-old dream. And when I go there, I fight off tears every single time because I'm just so happy that I get to do that and have that opportunity. And just a shout out that March 8th, next Saturday, the Coop is having their yearly Mardi Gras party.
We all need to be there for their Coop Mardi Gras party. Yeah, the Coop is such a fun experience, learning how to square dance, learning how to Cajun dance. You can go, you don't have to have any experience doing it. There are people there who can teach you how to square dance and Cajun dance. So thank you for being my guest. My guest has been musician Robin Silva. I've been your host, Mira Joe. You've been listening to the show Human Music, where each show I invite a guest musician to pick a song that we can listen to together.